You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 15th of July 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week. The weekend is almost here and you are listening either in your lunch hour or on your way home from work, or perhaps you're downloading this over the weekend, but you are all here today to hear from my very, very special guest, my good friend Grandpa Dan. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir?
Well, all right. I just want to remind everybody as we start off today's show, I'd just like to take this opportunity to remind everybody that any idea that there is an anti-white race hate agenda at work is just a pure conspiracy theory. It's like you might as well believe in flat earth or something like that. It's absolutely just made up nonsense. There's no proof for it. So please don't be a crazy conspiracy. Don't be a crazy conspiracy theorist.
Don't think that calling for the death of whiteness is anything about white people at all. It just means everything that white people do, but not actually white people, or so we are told. We're talking about this today because a department chair at the University of Denver's College of Education wrote an article calling on educators to commit to realizing the death of whiteness. Just imagine if somebody was to call for educators to commit to realizing the death of blackness or the death of Chineseness. I mean, how can this not be seen as offensive? How can this not be seen as threatening to white people? But apparently this is okay, and this is all being done under the guise of anti-racism. Apparently, it's anti-racist if you call for the death of whiteness, which basically implies that only white people can be racist and that all white people are racist, regardless of what they do or how they think. You have these microaggressions, you have this implicit bias, this unconscious bias. It doesn't matter what white people do, they just cannot get rid of their whiteness. I guess the only way that you can really get rid of your whiteness is to produce brown children, and then the next generation won't be white. Perhaps that's what is going on here. Grandpa, what do you make of this call to commit to realizing the death of whiteness?
Oh, and then you have to read this with the context in mind of the way that nationalists have to be sure that we carefully word everything so that it cannot be taken out of context, that if you stood on your head and closed one eye, could be viewed as inciting some sort of violence or something like this. And then you've got people like this who are on a high paid salary at a university, writing articles, getting paid big money that we could only dream about, calling for the death of whiteness. Now, how are you going to get rid of, how are you going to call for the death of whiteness? I mean, that means, I don't see any other way. It doesn't take a lot to say, well, then you're basically calling for the death of the white race, of white people. Now, as we get into this, you'll see a little bit of where they try to kind of fluff that up a little bit. But as you already pointed out, Sven, imagine nationalist podcasters calling for, quote unquote, the death of Jewishness. I mean, there would be just, you would be swatted the same day. I mean, you would have a team of federal agents coming around and swarming you in. I mean, this is just blatant. This is just blatant out and out. And at the same time, when people talk about this, you know, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, you're just all just paranoid and you're just crazy. This also highlights, you know, when people would put up the flyers that say it's okay to be white, and you saw this irrational, over the top reaction to that. Well, this all makes sense then, because obviously, as we pointed out before, the reaction says that it's not okay to be white, and this just reinforces that. Now they're not just saying it's not okay to be white, they're calling for literally the death of whiteness.
That's the thing. That's a good point that you bring up there, Grandpa. We're not allowed to say it's okay to be white, but it's perfectly okay to call for the death of whiteness. I mean, how can that not be seen as hostile? You don't get more hostile than calling for the death of somebody, and yet that is what is going on here. The April 2022 article features a call to academics and critical race theorists to join the author in committing themselves to the death of whiteness, specifically asking them to take up the verbal effigy dead honky. So he wants to use a racial slur for white people as well, and then call for that racial slur to be killed, dead honky. I mean, this is really offensive stuff. And yet, as you say, this is being carried out in the universities. It's part of critical race theory. We heard this week how one in four primary schools in Britain is teaching this critical race theory stuff. And this is what it's all about. It's all about getting rid of whiteness. And I guess what sort of things do they say constitute whiteness? Superiority, excellence, being good at things. I mean, just about all sorts of things they claim are to do with whiteness. Getting up in the morning, being expected to turn up at work, expecting people to be on time, expecting people to be polite and courteous, expecting people to be wearing a suit. All those sort of things are associated with whiteness, and they want to get rid of them. That's how they get away with it, by saying that this isn't racial, you see. They say that it's basically just talking about these things that are associated with being white, and that's what they're trying to get rid of. But if that's so, then why are they linking it with this verbal effigy, dead honky, which is a racial slur and a call to kill that racial slur? I mean, it's just incredible that they can get away with this. What do you think of this verbal effigy, dead honky, Grandpa?
Well, once again, if the article was about a podcaster somewhere and, you know, talking about blacks and using this same terminology, they wouldn't even print the word. They would say dead N word or dead N asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. But even here in the article, they have no problem printing an anti-white racial slur. You know, we always hear all this stuff. Oh, these words aren't allowed because they're hurtful. These words aren't allowed because it's about hurting people's feelings. We can't have racial slurs that could incite somebody to hate and could cause violence. And again, this person's getting paid big money. This person has an established position. They're getting paid to write articles. They're getting paid to teach your kids, heaven forbid. And no problem. They just publish this stuff. It's A-OK. You see, it's not about equality. It's not about not hurting people's feelings. I mean, they're in your face with this anti-white race hate agenda. I don't know how it gets any more in your face. End whiteness, death to whiteness, dead honky. I mean, what else do you need? I mean, you know, they're pretty, I tend to take people at their word, you know, and when people are saying things like this, I take them at their word that they really mean this. Why is this person not being canceled? Could you imagine a university person writing an article about any other race and calling for dead interracial term, whatever it is, as long as it wasn't white people? And not only do they keep their job, I mean, they're lauded as some sort of great academic here. I mean, it's just really, it's, I think what really comes away from this entire article is how really it's just absolutely in your face at this point. I mean, they're not even sugarcoating it. They're not trying to, like, you know, make it look like it's something that's not. It's literally obvious. They're just stating what they think.
It's outright calling for genocide, isn't it? Titled Dead Honky Against Technologies of White Violence, the article focuses on a 1975 skit from Saturday Night Live in which a white character used a racial slur in conversation with a black man. The article, authored by D.L. Stewart, proceeds to use the skit to expound upon a model of white violence, which the author argues consists of malicious white terror, rhetorical white innocence, white contempt, and white transmission, and finally, pacifying white concession. So what's actually going on here is he's claiming that the language that white people use is violence in itself. And that's why he's talking about this rhetorical white innocence. And this is white people saying, well, I'm not racist. I don't see color. I treat everybody the same. That is rhetorical white innocence. That is a micro aggression, according to this critical race theory. You're actually terrorizing black people to say that you don't actually see race and you treat everybody the same, because you're supposed to be making all these special exceptions for black people, and you're supposed to be looking over white people in order to hand whatever it is that you were going to give. So maybe it may be a job or a position or somewhere else. You're supposed to hand that over to black people simply because they're black. And if you don't do that, then that's whiteness. That's basically being racist against black people, because we're supposed to be doing all we can for black people now. And if we don't, then we're racist. And it's all to do with language here. They've basically equated words with violence. And that's what he's saying here. That's what these technologies of white violence are, is simply the language that we use. I guess he's referring to things like blacklisted, meaning if somebody is not going to be allowed to join something, it's blacklisted, because it uses the term black, and because black is associated with the black race, they now say that words like that are violent. That's what he means by the technology of white violence. So he wants to change our language entirely. And at the same time, he clearly wants diversity quotas, and he wants the decolonization of universities, which means that we've got to try and find black authors in classical studies. If we can't find any, then we'll just have to throw those classical studies out the window. If we expect people to use mathematics to solve problems, well, mathematics were thought up by white people. There aren't very many black people involved in that. Well, that's a racist science as well. That will have to go out the window. I mean, this may sound ridiculous, but this is all things that I've read that have been coming from these people. You know, mathematics itself is racist. Sheet music is racist, because non-whites may have difficulty reading the sheet music. English in itself is racist, because people don't all speak English in the world, and we have to be all equal. We have to give everybody an equal chance. So if we're expecting people to be able to read and write English, then we're excluding them, aren't we? So even at universities now, we have people that cannot even read or write. This is where this equality agenda ends up. What do you make of these technologies of white violence, Grandpa? Silence is violence, as they say.
Well, we're going to just tear all that away. And let me tell you what they really mean by white violence. If you exist as white people, that's considered violence. That's what you get down to the brass tacks of what they're pushing here. I mean, they're being pretty up to this point of the article. I mean, they're pretty upfront about them. I mean, come on, dead honky. I mean, how much more? Again, I can't imagine if we all know what would happen if nationalist podcasters, you know, openly spoke like that, what you would get, what the reaction would be. What they're defining as white violence is existing. Okay. I mean, you keep seeing the goalposts move. First, it was like, well, you know, it's okay if they use this word, but you're not allowed to use this word. And then it was, oh, well, you're not allowed to point this out. And then you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed. They keep moving it around. And let me tell you, now you're at the point to where existing is going to be considered white violence. All of the things they're pointing to. And I just can't help. I mean, it's got to be highlighted here. Again, this person is considered an academic. They're getting paid a lot of money. And what is their great academic work based on? A skit from Saturday Night Live? I mean, really, can you imagine spending $20,000 a year minimum, probably more than that, on college tuition to send your young adult child to college because you think that's going to get them a head start in life? And they're being taught something based around a 1975 skit from Saturday Night Live that is, I don't even know about it. I don't even, you know, I'm considered old, and I don't know. And you asked me at the beginning of the show if I was familiar. I was like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I've never been a big watcher of Saturday Night Live. It's just stupid. But yeah, that's the academic material we're dealing with here. A skit from Saturday Night Live. And we're all supposed to sit here and nod our heads and go, this is serious academia. Let's throw out, you know, I don't know, ancient literature and talk about a skit from Saturday Night Live. Once again, this is really a snapshot of what a collapsing society looks like. I don't know any other way to frame it. But make no mistake, white violence, this is just a little bit, they're using these rhetorical terms and they're trying to make it sound fuzzy and confusing. But make no mistake, white violence in their minds is simply white people existing. And as we'll get to here in a minute, it'll be easy for people to misunderstand, but like, they're going to also throw in anybody that won't go along with it. This is typical Bolshevism, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Well, that's what they mean by the silence is violence. If you don't actually go along with this and agree with it, and you're silent and you say, well, I don't have an opinion, well that in itself is equated with violence. Stewart contends that whiteness is itself a violence, which I would say is violence being done to good grammar. He also argues that in its emptiness, white refers to no ethnic group and defines itself only in reference to what it is not. It is not black, disabled, poor, trans, or non-Christian. Well, I would argue that. I mean, white refers to Caucasian and the Caucasian race, basically. It refers to Europeans. It refers to a group of ethnicities in the same way that black refers to a group of ethnicities. Chinese refers to a particular ethnicity. Asian refers to a group of ethnicities. I mean, it's pretty much similar to European or Caucasian. It's not defining itself in reference to what it is not. It is defining itself as a people group amongst a group of people groups. I mean, you have humanity, you have mankind, and mankind is made up of these different people groups, these different ethnicities, different races. It's a reference to it, to itself as being part of a group of people groups. I mean, that's what it is. It's not saying white people can only be defined in reference to what it is not. I would suggest that white people are defined as being a people group amongst other people groups such as black. And of course, you can be white and disabled. You can be white and poor. You can be white and trans, white and non-Christian. You can't be white and black, though, because black is a different ethnicity. And it's interesting here that he claims that you cannot be both white and poor. And this ties in with this idea of white privilege, and that all white people have all these special privileges. We just walk into shops and people just give us things. We just walk into a job. We don't have to actually study for it or anything like that. We're just given the job because we're white. And this is all the narrative that goes along with this critical race theory. But I think essentially here, where he's saying that white refers to no ethnic group, it does. It refers to a collective of ethnic groups. And in the same way that black refers to a collective of ethnic groups. What do you think of what he says here, Grandpa, about whiteness is itself a violence, and in its emptiness, it refers to no ethnic group?
Well, this is partially where they're trying to rhetorically fluff this up a little bit to make it where, you know, they kind of have a little plausible deniability. But when I read this, I read completely different. I read between the lines, and this is the Bolshevik angle of it, because where I read about this, it's not black, disabled, poor, trans, non-Christian, setting aside for just to see, it's anti-Christian. So they're obviously anti-Christian. You know, they have to put that in there. But what I read in this is that, you know, it's not just white people. If they get their way of pushing this, and you happen to be black and be like, yeah, no, this is stupid, I'm not going along with this, guess what? You're going to get accused of whiteness. See, just because you're black, you're committing white violence, even though you're black, just because you don't want to go in this. We've seen this historically with Bolshevism, that, you know, you're either in the program, you're either promoting the program or you're purged. And like I say, the way they word this, it's easy. You kind of have to read between the lines. But when I read between the lines, and honestly, I'm pretty good at reading between rhetorical lines from these types of people, what they're really implying here is, if you fit into any of these groups and you don't go along with the program, you know, if you're trans and you're like, yeah, no, I don't want to go along with this, trust me, you're going to be lumped in with, you know, assisting white violence of whiteness, and you were going to be purged. Now, we see these people with positions of power. Like I said, this article is written by an academic. They haven't quite gotten to the point where they're literally purging people. They're getting close to this. But I mean, they're obviously telegraphing their desires here. They're telegraphing, you know, what they want to do. And again, I think it's really important to highlight, you know, that they're anti-Christian with this. You know, the Christian, what are the Christians such a threat to them for? Once again, the satanic agenda, you can't get away from, you can't get around from it when they themselves can't help but to point it out.
Well, the article also parroted one of the central tenets of critical race theory, that white supremacy has hegemonic control over American institutions, and Stewart even claims that whiteness remains in power even when no white people are in leadership. And that just confirms what you were saying there, Grandpa. What it is, that they have this dislike of the way that the system is, and what they have then done is they have equated the system with whiteness and saying that it's something that white people are all for. And this isn't necessarily so, because we critique the system. We're against the system just as much as these guys are against the system. It's just that we don't associate the system with whiteness. I mean, white people may have come up with some parts of the system, but it just, it seems to me that it's really the negativeness of all races that has come out in the system. I mean, it's a multicultural world that we have now. We have this global empire, globalism, and it really contains the worst people of all the races that are actually running things and promoting things and promoting negative things. And we're just as much against it as these guys are. But somehow it's been associated with white people, and white people have been blamed for this. That's the first part. But the second part is, he's claiming white supremacy has hegemonic control over American institutions. Well, if that was true, then you wouldn't see black people in leadership positions. You wouldn't see Jewish people in leadership positions, or Chinese people. All you would see is white people. And we don't see that. And you would also see laws where it would be outlawed to criticize white people. And we don't see that. We see laws where it's outlawed to criticize Jewish people or to criticize black people. We don't see laws in place to prop up white supremacy at all. And in actual fact, we find that in our multicultural societies, it's white people that are right at the bottom and that don't have any laws specifically protecting them, whereas all the other minority groups do have laws to protect them. So I would question both of these central tenets of critical race theory. Grandpa, what do you make of these two central tenets here?
If there's one white person left on the face of the planet living in a cave trying to hide themselves, these people would rout them out and find them and say, see, we found the oppressor. We found the oppressor. This is the reason why your lives suck or whatever, because we found this one white person that still exists. I had to literally laugh out loud at that line. White supremacy is hegemonic control over American institutions. That's why if you're pro-white, you're banned from every sort of social media. You probably can't even hold a regular job. You know, it's because it's the white supremacy at work. I mean, it's just completely, absolutely detached from reality. Even in things like comedy, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you know, comedy, you could make fun of anybody. Now you can't. You can't make fun of anybody except white people. You can make fun of white people, regular, straight, normal white people. They're the only ones that could be the target of a joke. Anything else is considered off limits, out of bounds. You're not allowed to do that. And then have the audacity to sit here and say white supremacy has hegemonic control over American institutions. Please point us how. You know, please highlight to us how that exactly is, to where, once again, if you're not along with the anti-white race hate agenda, you're not going to be a politician. You're not going to be, you know, hell, you can't even have a Twitter account. I mean, come on, give me a break. This is just, once again, though, shows that no matter what, it's never going to be enough. It's always going to be white people's fault. It's always going to be blamed, you know, on white people. They're always going to be the bad guy, the effigy, the bad guy. This is the reason things aren't going well. And, you know, they're not going to say, oh, well, that's the end of it. We're okay now. They're always going to be something else. And it's high time people realize that and come to grips with that reality.
Well, you know, there is a very simple, non-violent solution to this problem of whiteness isn't there? And that is just to segregate. And then there would be no more whiteness within the black community, and the black community would have black leaders, and the white community would be somewhere separate with white leaders, and you'd have a Jewish community with Jewish leaders, and they would be separate, and there would be no more anti-Semitism. I mean, that is the answer to this problem, isn't it? If there is this problem with whiteness, which is in power within multicultural countries like America, well, just split the country up and have the white people in one area and the black people in another, the Jewish people in another, and then there is no more problem of whiteness remaining in power, is there? You would have black people in power, and they would be able to form society along the lines that they want, with the laws that they want, and they'd be able to promote the people that they want. I mean, it just seems to me that there is such a simple answer to all of these problems that are continually being outlined here, and yet anybody that posits forward that solution to the problem gets accused of being a hater, when really it's the solution to the problem, and it would get rid of all hate, wouldn't it? There would be no more discrimination, no more chances for people to feel that they were being discriminated against, because it would just not be able to happen. The author, D.L. Stewart, is the Higher Education Department Chair of the Morgridge College of Education at the University of Denver. And Stewart is affiliated with the American Educational Research Association and is a critical and post-structural scholar who focuses on race, gender, and intersectionality. So his job there is basically, it says, to focus on race, and what that means is focus on ways to critique the white race. That's why it says he's a critical and post-structural scholar. So they want to critique white people, they want to critique gender norms, and they want intersectionality. So they basically want all these minority group representatives to come together against white people. And then once they've torn everything down, they wish to build a new structure. That's why it says post-structural scholar. Only they don't have any structures that they are suggesting we're going to have once they've pulled everything down. That's why I say the simple answer to this is just to separate, just to segregate. Then you can build whatever structure it is that you think will come naturally from your people, and there would be no more discrimination. Interesting that they say here that's what he's doing, critical and post-structural scholar, because I don't actually see that they have any structure that they wish to put in place once they pulled anything down. What do you think of what it has to say here, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, we've seen time and time again that these people are only capable of destroying. They're only capable of tearing things down. When I say these people, I'm not saying blacks. I'm saying these extreme liberals, this leftism, Bolshevism, whatever term you want to use. They're only capable of tearing things down. We did the show recently about, you know, we talked about the destruction of the Boy Scouts of America, and we pointed out, why didn't they just go make a Gay Scouts of America? But they can't do that. They don't build things. They don't create things. They infiltrate. They take a hold of existing structures and they tear them down. Post-structural scholar. Yes, a scholar using a skit from Saturday Night Live, but it's a real scholar. But this term post-structural, people might misunderstand and think, oh, well, they want to deconstruct what exists now and build something else. They don't. They're not even capable of it if they do, but I don't even think they want to. All they know is to destroy. All they know is chaos. Sow chaos, destroy things. They don't build things. We do not see a single example with all of this destruction of organizations, of religion, and things such as this. We don't see them replacing it with anything else. We don't see them building new structures. They don't build new structures. All they know how to do is tear things down, is to destroy. Again, that's a satanic element of it, but I'm not going to start preaching. Now, as to what you pointed out, Sven, about segregation, and this is the answer. See, what you are positing there is the non-hate-filled logical conclusion. That is the logical, there's no hate involved. Hey, well, you know, obviously they want to have their own systems. We can have our, why don't we all just separate? We make room for everybody to have their own self-governing territories. How come we don't do that? You see, that's the non-hate-filled. Of course, you'll get accused of hate for suggesting such a thing. But I think it also highlights that is the logical, non-hateful solution. So all of this talk from, again, these people, is about this. That when they talk about hate, it's all projection. It is they that hate. You see, it's not about, well, we think that, you know, we don't want to be governed by white people. We don't want to be governed by straight white males, whatever. It's not about that. It's that they hate you and they want to destroy these structures. And they're talking in this article about destroying whiteness. Well, how are you going to do that except to destroy white people? I mean, really, am I reading too much into it? I don't think I am.
Well, that's a good point that you bring up there, Grandpa. I mean, this is a black professor that is saying this, but there are numerous white professors that are also saying the same and that are going along with this. And when you look at the Black Lives Matter protests, 90% of them are white, and the black communities are saying, well, no, actually, we don't want to get rid of the police. We want more police. And it's the white liberal progressives that are saying, get rid of the police. Tear everything down. I think most sensible black members of their community understand that it's probably not going to be such a good idea to tear everything down. It is really only the intellectual class, the liberal progressive intellectual class, that is calling for this. And that class is made up of representatives of all races. Sadly, it is white people mainly doing this to ourselves. It is maladaptive behavior that is harmful to the group. It's suicidal behavior, in fact, that they are engaging in. And this is why we call it out. It's not because this guy is black that we're bringing this up. It's the mentality behind it and the destructive effect that it is having on our society. The Morgridge College of Education has a number of different academic programs, some of which prepare students to become teachers. In the K-12 education system, the graduate school also has a program in curriculum development and instruction. So they're basically training the teachers that are going to be teaching your children. They're being trained at this college. They're being indoctrinated into this critical race theory and being taught that they have to bring this into every aspect of education so that they can reprogram the children into good little anti-white, anti-racists. The article was published in the International Journal of Qualitative Studies in Education, which aims to enhance the practice and theory of qualitative research in education. Now, what they're talking about there is rather than quantitative research, rather than quantity, a quantity of something, they're talking about the quality of something. And what they mean by the quality of it is how many white people were involved in this. If it's white people that were involved in it, then we don't want it. We want to replace them with black people. That's what they mean by qualitative research. So you've got two things that are going on here. You've got graduates being taught this so that they can then teach the children it in schools. And then you've got the point of it being that it's all about the quality rather than the quantity. And they don't mean quality as in the highest quality. They mean the racial qualities of what is being taught. It is now more important for them to promote the idea of multiculturalism than it is to actually teach people how to educate themselves and how to learn. I mean, what do you make of what it has to say here, Grandpa?
Well, you can always spot the... I'm trying hard not to preach. You can always spot the satanic element because of the inversion. Qualitative research in education. But it's the opposite. It's the opposite if you just go no further than pointing out that the entire article, the entire program talked about here is based on a Saturday Night Live skit that nobody even knows about from 1975 that some writer back then thought was funny. I mean, that is the quality. It's this inversion. Why didn't they make a education college just for this? Oh, because they can't build anything. They don't build things. They don't create new things. They don't create structures. All they do is destroy. And they've infiltrated. They're destroying this quality of education. And as you pointed out, you know, their job here is to indoctrinate future teachers into this program so that they're teaching this in the schools. Now, this obviously isn't a new thing. You see these TikTok videos, for instance, of these people who are currently teachers at school for like elementary school kids, and they're raving lunatics going on about indoctrinating kids about all of this gender identity and whatever the case may be. And again, a lot of these people, usually women, are raving lunatics, and yet they're teachers. Well, they've gone through programs such as this. This is just one program. This isn't just like, well, not worried about it. My kid's not going to this Denver college. Trust me, it's everywhere. this has been infiltrated in all of these institutions. And that's why we're seeing more and more of it now. And we're seeing more and more of the results of it.
Yeah, we're just highlighting aspects of it and centers of it. It metastasizes from the universities into all the schools and throughout the schools, through the media, through the government. Everywhere this stuff is. The journal focuses on racism, including whiteness, white racism, and white supremacy. I see every aspect of racism is to do with white people. Capitalism and its class structure, including critiques of neoliberalism. Well, we have critiques of neoliberalism here at Radio Albion, particularly on Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson's shows. Do you think they would be interested in some intersectionality with us? I doubt it somehow, but we do critique neoliberalism. We do have that in common with critical race theory. It also focuses on gender and gender identity. Of course, not the traditional genders. That means people that identify as the opposite gender or made up genders that they have just created in the last 10 years. Heterosexism and homophobia. That's an interesting one. Heterosexism. I guess that is a response to homosexuality and that being a thing. So they, and rather than saying that, what they've come up with is heterosexism. So I guess that means doing things in the ways that people have always done up until the last 20 years ago, where pretty much the whole of society was basically based around heterosexual ideas. Now it's become an ism. Now to have traditional marriage and traditional views, that is now an ism, heterosexism and homophobia, in addition to other issues of oppression and exclusion. So they're not excluding, they're being new minorities that they create over the next few years. We never used to have minorities. We used to just have a united nation and in our countries. And now we have all these different minorities that are being oppressed. I'm sure it has nothing to do with the Frankfurt School talking about how they were going to promote minorities and encourage them to feel that they were oppressed in order to divide society and make it easier for them to march their way through the institutions and have their cultural revolution. Breitbart News previously revealed that this same education journal published a call to eradicate whiteness and send it to its grave. Again, you don't get more hostile than that, than talking about sending an entire race to its grave. D.L. Stewart, the Morgridge College of Education and the University of Denver did not respond to requests for comment. How truthful that is, I don't know, because these mainstream media journalists, they do claim to have asked for a comment, and I'm not sure they always do. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
My second laugh out loud moment going through this article was this line about critiques of neoliberalism. They're literally promoting, everything they're promoting here is a part of the neoliberal order. I mean, they're literally like, this is the program. I mean, this is the program. What are their critiques of neoliberalism? That's not going far enough. I mean, that needs to be more hostile, more violent. I mean, I'm curious what these critiques are, because everything they're promoting here is right in line with the neoliberal globalist order. I mean, it is lockstep. That's why it's being promoted from a college. That's why these people get paid big money to push these programs, to tear these institutions down. It's hilarious to see them. Oh, we also have critiques of neoliberalism. I mean, what critiques? The only critiques I can imagine is that they're complaining because it's not moving fast enough. Issues of oppression and exclusion. But it's not oppression and exclusion if it's white people. Eradicate whiteness and send it to its grave. There's a reason they're using these terms. I mean, there is a reason they're using these terms. And again, if you tend to take people at their word, I don't think this is about, I'm sorry, I don't think these particular people, I don't think this particular programming, this particular line of thought of education that's being promoted, I don't think it's about equality. I don't think it has anything to do with lifting black people up. I don't think it has anything to do with trying to promote people to where they get along better. You know, they try to create this idea that they're somehow at the end of all this, everybody will get along just fine. Well, at the end of the day, their answer to that is, well, if we just eliminate all the white people, then see, everybody will get along just fine. And we'll have created a utopia. These people in these positions of power, and make no mistake, this is a position of power when you can indoctrinate and influence how teachers are teaching your kids, which will change their views as they become adults. Where they're taking us with this is a very, very dark place. It's not going to be a place where everybody's getting along. We've already seen the results of this. Relations between whatever groups you want to classify people as are at an all-time low. They're worse than they've ever been. We're seeing the results of this. And yet, what are they saying? Well, if we just take it another step more violent, if we take it another step, we just eliminate regular white people, then finally, we will have reached some sort of utopia. It's not going to be utopia. It's going to be hell on earth.
Well, as I say, we just need the simple, non-violent solution. They want to eradicate whiteness and send it to its grave. Or how about sending it to another part of the country, and we have the blackness in one area and the whiteness in the other? That's the answer to it. And I guess their critiques of neoliberalism probably only extend as far as the economic side of neoliberalism. It does seem remarkably blind of them not to realize that they are actually a part of the neoliberalist order themselves, and that is actually what they are promoting here. Perhaps one day they may realize that. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.